The following is a production of Vanderbilt's Owen Graduate School of Management. For more information about Owen, please visit owen.vanderbilt.edu.
This is Rob Simbeck for the Vanderbilt Owen Graduate School of Management. I'm talking today with Tim Gardner, Associate Professor of Management, about his research into employee turnover and management practices that might help minimize it. The large-scale retirement of baby boomers is making the stability of talent pipelines a huge concern to business. And Professor Gardner's research suggests that conventional wisdom on the best way to ensure that stability may need revision. Tim, welcome. Employers and employees once looked for long-term relationships. Then our executive ranks were marked by the ease with which people change jobs or even careers. Are we trending back at all?
I think we are. I think what we're seeing is a return of the practices of managing people and managing executives that we saw from about the 1940s to about the 1970s. So we're starting to see the return of succession planning. We're starting to see the return of rotation programs, workforce planning. The problem is that the employment relationship has fundamentally changed. And so while we're seeing the return of the practices, I'm not sure we're going to see the return of the effectiveness of those practices that before. So the three changes that we see are, one, companies' relationship with their employees are at will. They can't make long-term commitments to their employees. Number two, employees are just not as likely to stay at the company. The opportunities exist in alternative positions of employment, and so that makes those practices less effective. And then finally, other companies are more likely to try and hire well-trained employees. So while we're seeing the types of things that were previously used to manage people, and particularly executives, their effectiveness, I just don't think we're going to seem to see the same level of effectiveness.
Okay, so your study looks at the influence of human resource practices and organizational commitment on turnover. Tell us first what prompted this study.
I'd say what prompted the study is trying to explain my research to other people, whether it's students, family, friends, and we would talk about the role of turnover and what can be done to retain people in the organization. And in the back of my mind, I realized that all the studies with which I was familiar were really studying what determines whether an individual leaves an organization. But we know when managers think about managing turnover and reducing turnover, they're not thinking about the decisions of a set of employees. They're thinking about the average turnover of a business unit or of a restaurant unit or of an overall organization. And so I wanted to do a study that would inform better about how managers think about turnover rather than sort of the academic take on turnover.
So talk a little about the design.
The design is, ever since graduate school, I've been conducting research and consulting with a large Fortune 500 company. And one of the hallmarks of this company is they have about 100 business units around the country. Those business units are autonomous. They can do what they want, but they're all very similar. And so they're similar, but they can respond to the regional demands. And so we've been collecting survey data, performance data from the financial performance data from the business unit, and also managerial practices, how they use their human resource systems to manage those people. The primary focus when we started the project was to look at how human resource systems affect financial performance. We realized, taking a closer look at the data, that we could also have something to say about how human resource systems affect organizational and collective turnover rates.
And through all of this, the word commitment would play a major role, and it does in your study and your findings. And I wonder if you could tell us the way you look at that word commitment, what we're talking about, and how it affects the workplace.
I can. Typically, when I'm talking about commitment in the study, we're talking about affective organizational commitment, meaning the feelings of loyalty and bonding one has towards an organization. Are they willing to share their energies and their insights with the organization? And there's a long, long history of research on how individuals feel commitment and how that affects their behavior. But again, when you think about managers and how they want to affect commitment and outcomes, they're thinking about collective commitment. They're thinking about the commitment of the workforce. And so within this study, we think about the collective commitment of the workforce and how that affects turnover outcomes.
Well, when you're talking either individuals or groups, you deal with three classic employee attributes: skill, motivation, and empowerment, and the human resource systems designed to enhance them. And surprisingly enough, you report that enhancing skill levels may actually be counterproductive when it comes to turnover. And I wonder if you could talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, that was a somewhat surprising finding on our part, and although it really shouldn't be. When you think about how you're going to manage your workforce and you think about how you're going to enhance their skill set, number one, you're going to think about recruiting and hiring top-notch employees. Other ways you might influence the quality of the skills in your organization is investing in training and development opportunities. And if you're making those investments and finding the best people and developing the best people, other companies are going to realize it. Those employees are going to realize that they have other outside labor opportunities, outside employment opportunities. And so what our study showed is that the greater companies invest in those skill-enhancing practices, the greater the likelihood the overall turnover rate is going to actually increase.
So what does a company do with that information?
I think if you go back to one of the main points of the study is where we break human resource systems into skill, motivation, and empowerment enhancing practices. A lot of times when managers or human resource managers also think about human resource management, they think about the silos inside the HR department: training, employee relations, recruiting, selection. And what we do is we say those are just silos, artificial silos within a company. What human resource systems really do is they affect the skill set, they affect the motivation, the willingness of employees to engage in discretionary behavior and to work hard for the organization, and empowerment. Employees when the company grants the employee the information, the authority, and the opportunity to contribute. And so instead of just saying, well, let's get the best employees or let's just provide development, what our study says is that if you empower employees and motivate them towards the company's end, that's going to downplay or reduce the impact of the skill-enhancing practices on turnover.
Now, was there, on the flip side, information that could be taken away by the employees themselves, or were you strictly looking at it from the managerial aspect?
We're thinking about it from the managerial perspective of when they make these investments in human resource practices and human resource systems, what outcome are they likely to see at the level at which they think, at the level of the business unit. So I guess you could look at it from the employee perspective, but we really designed the study to make an academic point, but also to inform managers about how human resource systems interrelate and have an impact on turnover.
And finally, where do you see both your research going and where do you see American business practices going?
Where my research goes, and it built off a lot of this, is this idea of other companies being willing to hire another company's employees. We've known that's been going on, and it's the stigma from that has declined since about the 1980s. But I think what you're seeing more common today is companies are using that strategically. At any time when they need to fill a replacement, now or in the future, they can think about, do we want to develop people over time, or do we want to spend our time looking for the right skill set in the broader labor market? And I think companies are getting better at developing people, as they have for many years, but where I think they're really improving is to start to say, where is that skill set in the outside labor market, and can we bring those people at just the right time to achieve the ends that we want to achieve?
Thank you, Tim. Timothy Gardner is Associate Professor of Management at the Vanderbilt Owen Graduate School of Management. For Owen, this is Rob Simbeck.